Welcome to The Positivity Effect, where paying it forward and doing something positive in someone's life can provide them with the confidence and motivation to do the same for someone else. Like a stone dropped into a lake, let's create a ripple effect of positivity throughout our world. And it begins with your host, Dr. Thomas Retscher.
Hey guys, Dr. Thomas Retscher here, and I am so excited to introduce my guest today, Peggy Seelfon. Peggy, are you ready to spread some positivity?
I am so ready, Thomas. I'm really excited to be here with you.
Excellent, excellent. Peggy Seelfon believes everyone has the potential to live a life fully and gloriously. Through her coaching and speaking, Peggy's mission is to help individuals find lasting relief from stress and anxiety by reconnecting to their true purpose. Peggy has been successful in doing this because she, too, has had a period in her life of unfulfillment. Peggy is certified in several modalities of Amrit Yoga, Neuro-Linguistic Programming, and Crystal Medicine Therapy. She also has a book out called Escape from Anxiety, Supercharge Your Life with Strategies from A to Z, which can be found on Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, as well as her website. You can connect with Peggy by checking out her website at www.peggyseelfon.com, as well as finding her on social media. Peggy, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Thomas. I am really joyful to be here. This is really a great way to start the day, so thank you for the invitation.
Absolutely. And, you know, we were talking, you're down in the warmer weather, so what's it like today?
It's really quite nice. Actually, thank goodness it's cooling off a little bit. I'm in Southwest Florida, and we've had a very brutally hot summer, but it's starting to cool off, so it's beautiful.
It's a little less humidity?
Yes.
That's awesome. So, you know, I gave everybody a little bit of a backstory, but I'd love for you to talk more about how you got into what you're doing today.
How much time do you have, Thomas? You know, it's funny. I really feel that, you know, life is just full of so many twists and turns, and it's kind of paying attention to those twists and turns. And so I had a lot of adversity along my path and a lot of things that I struggled with and I suffered. And I always experienced these exciting periods of productivity where I'd be full of energy and life would feel grand, but then I'd crash and burn and I'd get sick or something would happen that was, stopping me in my tracks. And so I, for a long time, believed that, well, this was just my cycle. This is how I had to live. And that was really what was kind of propelling me to find a better way. And actually, it's funny because I had a client this morning that had this very experience. Last week, he was on top of the world. He felt great. He was getting all his projects done. And this week, he crashed. He hit bottom. He's irritable. He's upset about everything and nothing's working. And he just didn't understand, like, why is this happening? And so what I've learned and what I train people in is getting to that sort of neutral place where you can be everything you are, where you can be satisfied and content and really feel good and really be productive and loving and all those kinds of things, but you don't have to crash and burn and you don't have to have that manic high, which can often be just excessive.
And what do you think causes that, where we, you know, where we can go through more cycles of down than up?
Well, a lot of it, to be honest, with a lot of the clients I work with, it really comes from patterning. It's a behavioral pattern that gets conditioned. And, you know, we've kind of talked about this offline, where we have sort of these neural pathways that get grooved. So you get grooved into these habits of behaviors that can be very negative, and they're often triggered by preconditioned experiences, things that happened in childhood or something a parent might have said or a teacher might have said or a friend. And then in the reality of this moment, of this experience today, right now, something triggers you to reactivate that neural pathway that kind of takes you into this negative mode. And you can change it. And that's a lot of what my book does. I have like 100 strategies to interrupt those negative patterns.
So that's really interesting, you know, talking about these neural pathways that get grooved. You know, when someone works with you, like on a one-on-one basis and you're coaching them, is that kind of part of the process, identifying this in them first so they kind of recognize, you know, it's not me, it's something that's been kind of, it's so they understand that it's something that it's been a process that they have to work through?
Absolutely. You know, I really do believe, though, that we learn from those negative experiences, and it does help us grow. And as humans, we really are in an evolutionary process, and we really are in a process of wanting to improve ourselves at all times. And biologically, we go through that. So sometimes, though, we get stuck, and the energy gets stuck. And so you kind of need a boost to sort of free up the energy and open up to this expansive understanding, because I think we have really limitless capabilities, and we get stuck in this mindset and this belief system that holds us back. So it's really helping to change that mindset and open up belief systems with very clear strategies. I mean, there are very simple things you can do, and it takes you know, a positive approach to really being mindful, to really being aware, and beginning to tune into even negative thoughts.
Oh, and you know, I just thought of what I was trying to say. It was like that once you help them identify that, they don't have to feel like they're a victim of their mind, and it can kind of kickstart the process towards healing, you know, and feeling a little bit better.
Absolutely, beautifully said. And that is so true, because I think so many people feel victimized. And here's the big kind of epiphany, is that so many people feel like it's because of all these external things. You know, my husband made me mad, my daughter made me furious, you know, all of these things that we're bombarded by. But guess what? No one can make you mad. You can choose to react in whatever way serves you. And if you want to be agitated and angry and upset, that's a choice, but you can change that. And that's the real key.
Yes, absolutely. You know, and just like talking with you right now, and anytime I do these interviews, it just, I feel more neutral just because we're talking about this topic and talking about, we're turning the focus away from ourselves and saying, we're just being more outward.
Well, and you know what else, Thomas? We're connecting. Like, you and I are energies. We're of like mind, and we're really connecting. We're really able to lift each other up. And to me, I feel like our greatest resource is each other, because we're each these wonderful swirling, you know, aspects of energy that when you intertwine them, you help uplift each other. And I feel like, you know, that's what we're doing by being together here. And hopefully your listeners are feeling that positivity as well.
Absolutely. So speaking about positivity, you know, let's get people thinking. I want to ask you, in your opinion, what is the benefit of having an overall positive outlook on life over a negative one? Just to get people thinking, you know, maybe they're not even sure that they're stuck in a negative mindset.
And you know what? I think that's a very good point, because I think a lot of people don't realize. They just feel like, well, that's their lot in life. You know, this is what I deserve. This, I'm not good enough. Or I, you know, this is the job I have, or this is the situation I'm in. And it is what it is. There's nothing I can do about it. And so I'm unhappy, and I just accept my unhappiness. And all of that is very counterproductive and goes back to what you just said earlier about being a victim. And so it's really about changing that outlook by shifting what you're focusing on and recognizing that you're here for a purpose. You have a lot to offer. Even if you're not seeing it in this moment, it's there. So when you begin to shift into a more positive frame of mind, you can actually see solutions to situations more clearly instead of just focusing on problems. And when you're in a positive mindset, you actually begin to release, you know, feel good endorphins, and you feel a sense of peace and calmness. And when you're in that tension-free place, you're much more empowered to really be who you are. And I work with a lot of people who just are crippled with stress, anxiety, and that fear really shuts down our biology, and it shuts down our ability to really transition through whatever challenges we might be facing.
And Peggy, what would you say to someone who says, you know, Peggy, I just don't feel like, I wake up and I don't feel like I have a purpose?
Right. Oh gosh, so many people feel that way, and it's true. And it's because they're looking in all the wrong places. And again, they've grooved these these negative outlooks and this negative way of thinking. And one of the things that I would really recommend is kind of coming up with a positive statement. Find something in your life, and there are many things, if you stop and think about it, that you're grateful for, whether it's your health, whether it's the home that you're living in, whether it's having fabulous food on your table, simple things, everyday things that nurture your life. And when you wake up in the morning and open your eyes, the first thing that you want to put your mind towards is thinking about what is that thing that you're grateful for. It may be the person in bed with you. It may be, someone special in your life. And just allow yourself to spend 60 seconds just thinking about how grateful you are for whatever that is. And that begins to just shift you and gives you the opportunity to begin to connect with you and sets you on a path of finding your purpose. But it's important to begin by just opening up to it, because if you're always closing down and stuck in that place of fear, it paralyzes you, and it's hard to tune in to all the things that you truly are. And everyone has great potential. You're all here for a reason, and it's really just being able to relax enough to open up, to really see it and to connect to it. And when you do, it's so exciting.
It's absolutely exciting. Yeah. And like you said, just getting to that centering feeling, getting to that that feeling of calm in your life where everything else kind of just opens up. And
Thomas, I don't mean to interrupt, but I have to just, kind of reinforce the fact that it's very challenging in the world we live in today, because we are so fast paced, it's so chaotic, we're so barraged by media and news and, texts and tweets and posts. And so we're bombarded, and it's hard for the mind to find that place of calm. And I actually teach a meditative technique, and your listeners can go and access it at a place called 3minutestodestress.com. So
three minutes,
and you can just get to a place where you kind of drop out and take that 3-minute period to just kind of see a clearer reality of what is.
And, just talking more on that point about how we're just so bombarded by everything, and the life isn't getting any slower or any more relaxed. Many people feel that way, and it's easy. We all can feel that way at times. And I think many people feel that they're a product of their environment, of their genes. And you mentioned before about when you get to that place of healing, you can really start to influence your biology. And I believe in that too. And touching on the topic of epigenetics, can we talk more about that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. The field of epigenetics is so fascinating, because what they're finding is that, your genes really influence maybe 10 to 20% of your wellness and your being. And so, I work with people who, their father had a heart attack when they were 30. So they're thinking, oh my gosh, I'm going to have a heart attack when I'm 30. And it's not true. And so really, environment, choices, positivity, mindset, meditation, yoga, all these kinds of activities can help bring you into a place of balance, which actually can influence your genes. And I do a program called Integrative Relaxation, which in 20 minutes of doing it is equivalent to like 3 to 4 hours of deep restorative sleep. And Dr. Herbert Benson did a study at Harvard, and he's done these studies over 35 years, so it's not just, recent, but he has shown that if you take 20 minutes a day for 8 weeks, you can literally impact your genes to express more healthfully.
Wow. And is that something can that be just breathing, 20 minutes a day of just quiet breathing?
Yes, it can be. It's really just doing a relaxation response rather than activating the stress response in our biology, which is that fight or flight, which we're constantly having activated. We live in this chronic state. It's really important to interrupt that and to quiet. And so, yes, deep breathing, just deep relaxation. and relaxation in a way that is integrating mind-body. Because a lot of people think relaxation is having a drink, watching TV, reading a book, and that's fine, that those are distractions, but that's not true relaxation. So yes, you're absolutely right. Breathing for 20 minutes can do it. Doing the integrative relaxation, which is also known as yoga nidra, which is like a yogic sleep, and that is incredibly effective.
And someone that's trying meditation out for the first time, Peggy, how important is it for them to understand, you know, as they're sitting there, it's quiet, they're breathing, and their thoughts just start flying at their head, you know, I have to go pick up my kids at this time. I have to, you know, to just kind of be okay with that and let that happen. And then as they come in, just breathe and let them kind of go out again, in and out.
Exactly. And that's the thing. It's so funny because I just had this conversation with a client this morning because he thought he was going to a yoga class last night, and it was an hour and a half meditation class. And he said, I was so uncomfortable. I didn't know what to expect. And that's the whole point, is not to expect anything, and just to shift from thinking and doing to really feeling and just being. So as the thoughts come in, just noticing the thoughts and then just letting them go.
That's
the beauty of it. And allowing the thoughts, you know, not getting irritated or upset and not getting into the thoughts. In other words, not spinning stories or realizing, oh, geez, you know, I was supposed to pick up the groceries at 2 o'clock and I forgot. And oh, what am I going to, letting all of that go. And really just giving yourself permission to be in that state of quietness.
Absolutely. And Peggy, you know, myself included, I know that anybody that's listening right now can just, they don't even have to see your face and they can get that sense that you are at really a calm and centered place, you know, in your own life. So let's talk about a moment, you know, maybe a while back where you weren't, and really a specific moment where maybe you had a negative mindset at the time, and maybe that mindset kept you there and kept you down. And then maybe now using the positive thinking to get you out of it.
Such a great question. And there's so many of those moments. It's hard to hone in on one of them, but yeah. You know, it's so funny to hear you say how, you know, calm and relaxed I sound, because in my past, I have been a type AAA personality. I have been so hyper, so much of an overachiever, and it was so gratifying for me to learn these tools of how to come into this place of calmness so that I can actually do so much more with less effort. And it's easier. But I guess one of the biggest traumas in my life has to do with relationships. And I work with a lot of people with relationships because, you know, relationships really show us who we are. And they really create these ongoing therapeutic irritations, you know, that we have to respond to and work through. And I was in a marriage that, talk about negativity. I was married to someone who, you know how some people see the glass half full and some people see the glass half empty?
Yes.
Well, he saw the glass broken in a million pieces. I mean, that's where he was. And it was really tough because I felt like my purpose in life was to make him happy. And what I finally recognized somewhere along the line, and we were married for a long time, but I realized that he's just not a happy person. And I didn't understand that it wasn't my responsibility to make him happy, that my only responsibility was to learn how to be happy for myself. And then by doing that, I could potentially influence his happiness. But I didn't understand that at the time. So we went through a horrible divorce and, you know, failure, that feeling of failure, that feeling of, such a sort of major incision in your life where you're sort of going along as this couple and you're recognized as this couple. And then all of a sudden, wow, you're severed and you're out there, you know, flying free. And at first I was excited that, oh yes, I'm finally, you know, on my own. And then I got crippled realizing that, okay, I can choose to do whatever I want now. And I didn't know what I wanted.
Yeah.
And that was paralyzing. And so it took a process. And that's a big key to a lot of people's challenges is that it's not something that you just switch a switch and overnight you go from feeling really awful to feeling really great. I mean, you really have to evolve it. You have to work it. You have to find your way. And people resonate with different strategies. So it's important to find what works for you. And it took me a while to find mine, but I eventually did. And when I did, that shift into recognizing who I am and what I have to offer and where my happiness lies was incredibly empowering.
Absolutely. And thank you so much for sharing that story. And in the regard that you also mentioned that at the time, you didn't recognize that you could have actually, by building yourself up, influenced him. And it's probably something you know now. And when you meet with people, maybe somebody that's listening that's going through the same thing right now, what would you say to them when they're going through that and they feel like there's nothing that they can do? And, you know, how would you use positivity to explain to them that they can influence the other person, that it doesn't have to end, that they can actually help the person?
Right. And actually, I do a lot of relationship counseling now, just kind of by dint of the work that I'm doing. It ends up being part of the coaching that I end up doing. And what I find is that a lot of people are so focused on what's not working, they fail to recognize what is working. And oftentimes they get so caught up in the negative of what's, you know, irritating about the relationship that they forget to look at, well, what did they fall in love with this person? What was it that they really enjoyed about them? And oftentimes it's just that they've kind of gotten off track and they've put emphasis on the chores and the bills and the arguments and the conflicts rather than the things that they enjoyed doing together, you know, going and taking a walk or doing something fun or, you know, really being gratified being together, making a meal together and enjoying, you know, candlelight and, you know, enjoying the nurturing of that experience. And so it's sometimes just a matter of really shifting what you're focusing on. Other times, what I've also found, and really more importantly, is tuning into oneself and really beginning to look at who you are. And if you're challenged in a relationship, are you a good partner? Would you want to be with you? And if you question that, what are the things that you can do to change some of the things that you're not comfortable with about yourself that would be more enjoyable for a partner? Too many people look at relationships as, well, they'll complete me. You know, that person will fill me up and I'll be loved. But you've got to give love to get love. And if you're not a loving person and you don't love yourself, that's a problem.
That's a problem.
So you have to start there.
And Peggy, how much would you say that just negativity that we have in our lives goes back to just communication with others? You know, I'm in communication myself. I help people with hearing loss. And when we talk about communication, how much that, you know, it's just something we all have to do so much on a regular basis, but we stumble through it so much, you know, whether it's with our family, with our friends, with our coworkers, and how much we can improve our communication just by, if there's something that, you know, we're trying to have a point about or argue about, if we just stop, you know, take a few seconds to think about it and then hear the other person's side of the story and not push our own point on them, we may actually open up some more communication.
And that's beautifully said. I love that, Thomas, because you are spot on. And that's so important because I think so many people who enter a state of conflict, they never listen to even what the other person's saying. So they don't understand. And they're just posturing to be right. And what I often counsel people in those kinds of situations is it's not about being right. It's about accepting one another's perspective. And oftentimes what helps is to say to the other person, you know, you're right. And from my perspective, here's what I'm seeing. So that they listen. If you support them, then they will pay more attention to what you're saying. And if you really want to get your message across, be kind, you know, listen and be caring so that you can really open up those channels of communication. And in some cases, agree to disagree. it's okay to have differing opinions, and that kind of adds spice to life. So accept that that's what they believe, and you're right, because that is your belief, so you're right for you. My belief is this, and I feel comfortable in this belief. And so it's accepting that.
Yeah, and it's, you know, we all try to be our, you know, a king in our own world, and we, like you said, we posture each, you know, with our own argument, and then it's, there it is, it's two people butting heads, posturing their own side of the story. And if we just listen, you know, the power of listening, how quickly you can disarm the situation and kind of bring a sense of peace back to the conversation that you're having with that person.
And a lot of times it's really looking at, well, what do you want to achieve in this discussion? You know, yeah. And if you're just battering someone, you know, you're going to get a lot of resistance. You're going to cause pain. Is that really what you want to achieve?
And Peggy, do you feel or agree that this doesn't just apply to our personal relationship with a spouse or a family member? This goes into all aspects with, you know, talking to somebody in a store, communicating with a neighbor, talking to somebody at work, talking to your boss.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And also, as communication happens with different people, especially in business, because I see so many times where, you know, associates, instead of being sort of collaborative and cooperative, they're competing against one another. And it's sometimes helpful to really look at what words you're using. Are you, you know, peppering your dialogue with a lot of negative words? Because again, that's creating this sort of energetic discord, and you're contributing to kind of a malfunction. And so you really want to pause. And I think what you said earlier, just about sort of stepping back and breathing, you know, in the old days, we used to say count to 10 before you say anything. And really just taking that pause so you're not just reactive, but you take time to really be present and to really think about, well, what is really important here? What do I really want to achieve?
And, you know, I think that knee-jerk reaction, you know, that's just something that's in us, you know, in our biology, but that's where we are as humans, where we can take those few seconds in our mind to recognize the knee-jerk reaction, stop, assess the situation, you know, at a higher cognitive level, and like you said, just disarm it.
And absolutely, yes. And also to sort of, you know, be aware of our own filters, because again, you know, a lot of situations that we're irritated by often come from pre-programming. For instance, I worked with a client who was a teacher, and she had this student who was always nasty to her. And I mean, she would try to work carefully with this student, but the student was always criticizing her and bullying her. And one day they were alone in the cafeteria, and the student said to her, "You know, you remind me so much of my sister." And the teacher said to her, "Well, how do you feel about your sister?" And she said, "I hate her. She's always the perfect one, and I can never live up to her." And my, you know, and she just went on and on. And so there was this realization that her reactions to this teacher and her communication was so negative and bullying, not because of the teacher, but just because of what that teacher triggered in her. And so it's important to pay attention to those kinds of elements, because so much of our interactions with one another really aren't about the moment. It's really about something else.
Yeah, and when you're talking to someone, you don't know, you have no idea where they're coming from or where they're starting at in terms of how they're going to analyze what you're saying.
Exactly.
I think we assume that they're analyzing and filtering what we're saying with our own filter.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we're so busy thinking about, okay, what are we going to say next, that we're not hearing or listening to really what they're saying.
Yes. So Peggy, it's so true that, you know, we are standing on the shoulders of giants, people that lift us up in life, mentors. So tell us about a positive individual who was or still is a mentor in your life.
The most outstanding mentor for me has been a world-renowned yogi master, Amrit Desai. And he was the one who really rekindled my light to help me see myself in a deeper way. And he is just a remarkable human being. And I went on to train with him. I'm actually working on a book with him now. We've been working on it for quite a few years. But he really allows his students to see themselves in their wholeness. And he teaches techniques that allow you to really transform and to really enter that domain of grace where you're in that place of calm, where you de-stress and you're able to really grab hold of all that you are. And he's just an amazing individual. And he's in his 80s now, still teaching. He's at the Amrit Yoga Institute, which is in Salt Springs, Florida, which is in the middle of the Ocala National Forest. It's absolutely beautiful. And so for anyone really ready to move into a deeper understanding of themselves, there's a lot of weekend opportunities. I really encourage people to go and experience a session with Amrit Desai.
That's excellent. I was just going to ask you if there's like weekend retreats that are open to the public.
Absolutely. And they are phenomenal. He is amazing. He's funny. He's entertaining. He knows life. He was one of the first to bring yoga to the West back in the 60s. And he founded Kripalu, which is world renowned. And now it's morphed into Amrit Yoga. And it's remarkable. He, you know, for me, I feel like I've learned that life is a yoga posture. And so instead of reacting with irritation and anger and, you know, all these sort of negative responses, it's an opportunity to transform and to shift into a more positive way of looking at it. And so you can practice that when you get stuck in traffic, instead of, you know, being so reactionary and annoyed or someone just cut you off, take a deep breath, take a moment and just be in the flow.
That's wonderful. And Peggy, you know, one of my number one goals with this show, with the Positivity Effect, is to hammer in the idea to everyone that's listening of the importance of mentorship. So for anybody that's listening, what would you say to them for someone that says, I don't know, where am I going to find a mentor? I don't even know anybody like that. What would you say to them in terms of how would they find someone to help mentor them?
You know, when I feel like when the student is ready, the teacher appears. And so it's really about surrendering, opening up, allowing yourself to be vulnerable, and the mentor will show up for you. And sometimes our mentors can be our children. They can become our masters and teach us so much about ourselves that help us really grow. So it's really just being open, aware, and allowing.
I love that. It's not, you know, this big, massive, you know, secret formula. It's just keeping your mind open to and being transparent and open to sharing what's going on inside of you. And then somebody will step forward in your life if they haven't already and you maybe just aren't aware of it.
Right. I think that's true. I think sometimes we don't see what's right there. I agree with you. And being transparent, I love that expression. That's very true.
Very true. Peggy, share with us, you know, through all your teaching, through your one-on-one coaching, and I know you have so many stories, but share with us maybe one of the most gratifying experiences you ever had teaching or mentoring someone.
There are so many. It's so hard to really focus in on just one. I guess the most recent has been working with a CEO of a nonprofit company. And every other week, she was finding herself in the emergency room thinking she was having a heart attack. And so what we discovered is that these panic attacks were coming from, obviously, within her and her insecurities about the situation that she was in. She had relocated to a new city. It was a new job. She'd been in it for about a year. She had an insubordinate staff that was very challenging. And what was so gratifying was how open and ready she was to recognize her own vulnerabilities. And we actually developed a protocol for her to do every single day that allowed her to really connect with kind of her higher self, that helped guide her to manage her situation in a way that was so much more productive. And ultimately, she ended up leaving the company, leaving the organization. And I just ran into her about a month ago, and she is so ecstatically happy, and she's doing absolutely fantastic things, and it's really transformed her life. And so sometimes, again, I think people feel stuck, and it's really important to know that there are opportunities and there are lots of possibilities no matter what. Even if you're living from paycheck to paycheck or you're feeling like you need a job and you don't have one, there are so many ways that you can begin to approach your personal challenges and you can change them.
Beautiful. All right, Peggy. So we're going to wrap it up. You know, we've been talking about positivity, mindset. I'd like to take a second, just a quick second, to talk about health. So how do you incorporate healthy eating and exercise into your life to assist in building a strong mindset?
You know, it's really important. I actually, I'm just starting tomorrow a 10-day program that I take a group of people through where it's kind of a detox, but I call it more a food strategy because I got addicted to sugar about a year ago. I didn't realize that my significant other is a fabulous cook, and what he was using was a lot of things that had high fructose corn syrup and things that I was starting to get addicted to. So for me, I am very vigilant now about watching labels and staying with really whole foods. I even eliminate dairy. I don't have dairy, sugar. I stay away from grains. And I pretty much stay with whole foods. I don't eat meat, but if I did, I would do grass-fed beef. I do have chicken and fish, but it's always either wild-caught fish or free-range chickens or pastured chickens. So I really am mindful about what I put in my body, and I make sure I drink a lot of water. I love green tea, which is very antioxidant and has a little bit of caffeine, but with all the antioxidants, it keeps you in a more even keel.
Love that. Guys, be mindful of what you put into your body. Food is information. And whether you put good food in your body is going to express that outwardly, and vice versa. If you put bad food in your body will express that.
I love that, Thomas. Food is information. That is beautiful.
Yeah,
fantastic.
I wish I can say that it was my saying. I have to go back to the gentleman that we were talking about earlier, Sean Stevenson. I don't know if it's his original idea, but I love when he says that, yeah, that food is information. And once you think of that and that simple idea, you know, you're looking at this beautiful plate of food, but it doesn't look like that once it goes down after you chew it, you know. So it's like it just gets broken down into all these different parts, like you said, sugar and salt and all the different micronutrients of what that plate is.
And it's energy, you know,
and
food
energy.
Is energy, and you need good fuel, you know. Would you put lousy fuel in a sports car?
That's right.
You know, wouldn't power it very well.
Absolutely. So Peggy, books are friends. You know, if you look at a book like a friend, you don't have to, you know, when you're reading it, you don't have to feel like you have to sit down and read it all in one sitting. You could read a little bit, get a nugget of good information from it, put it back on the shelf, and it's always there like a good friend waiting to connect with you again. So if you were stuck on an island and you had one book with you, what would that book be?
Well, my favorite that I go back to again and again is The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. And I just feel that it's the connector. It really helps illuminate how to really be present. And, you know, how they say, you know, the present is a gift. And it really is when you really connect to that place, when you let go of all the filters and you're really in the moment.
Let go of all the filters, guys. Just be in the moment. Peggy's been telling you just take a second. Use meditation to help you focus your life. And definitely reach out to someone and be open to share what's going on inside, because you never know how that person can help you. Peggy?
Absolutely. And by the way, my book, Escape from Anxiety, you can access it at escapefromanxiety.com. That might be a really easy way to get there.
Excellent. And Peggy's so inspired by the value that you provide to our world. I'm just so relaxed right now just having a chat with you. Really definitely feel like I'm connected and sharing some positive energy with you. So thank you so much for sharing your stories.
Thomas, thank you so much for all that you're doing. I love the show. I think what you're bringing to people is so important, and it's really important that they open up to see the positivity in their lives.
Wonderful. Thank you. So give our listeners one last word of wisdom, and then we'll say goodbye.
One last word of wisdom. I think it's really kind of been said, just really being present, really being open, really allowing yourself to come into your own and to be empowered.
Wonderful. Peggy, our audience, they're well aware. They can find links to everything that we mentioned in today's episode by going to positivityeffect.com, clicking on the podcast tab and finding you in the archives, or just entering in your name in the search bar and your show notes page will pop right up. So
fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you so much. You've been so generous with your time, your stories, your energy. I think it goes to say that we've been empowered by your positivity. Peggy, be well, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you, Thomas. You too.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Positivity Effect. I promise to keep sharing inspiring stories with the guests each and every Monday. I hope you feel inspired, and I hope that we stirred some self-reflection in you on topics like transparency and compassion and empathy. Please check out the website at positivityeffect.com. Sign up for the newsletter, and I'll send you some tips to get you thinking more positively. I would also love to hear from all of you, so please write to me, because every Sunday I'm going to share an inspiring story from one of the listeners, just like yourself. If you have a story where you exhibited compassion towards someone or you paid it forward, I'd love to hear about it. So thanks again. If you love the show, please head over to iTunes, leave a review. It means the world. Take care, and talk to you next Monday.